Did I just ask sort of the question? I don't know whether Ernest or Maurice would like this question about structure and culture. Now, is this a difference in anthropological and historical or more modern historical language? You see, I find it very difficult to think of a structure independent of a culture. And when I try and define culture and not culture, which I think is a very important distinction to make, material being and culture, and the constant friction between the two. In a modern society, one does tend to go to a mode of production, and one does tend to place emphases upon an economy in its fullest sense, as being together with Braudel's material life, that is, other elements which are not strictly economic, as being the involuntary and determining area. But when I think of a social structure, I think of 18th century, when I try and present a structural argument about 18th century class relations and how they're mediated, I cannot do this independent of particularly. I mean, my last book, the last 10 pages actually are an argument actually with Althusser, although I don't mention his name, about law and custom, and the sense in which law is imbricated in the structure and the whole system of domination and whole ruling class hegemony over that society. And I cannot see the structure of 18th century society independent of those cultural artifacts. Now, is this an anthropological historical difference?
Well, it's important to understand that the anthropologists around this table use structure in at least four different ways, and I use it in a totally different way to my fellow anthropologists. So I shall explain this this afternoon, but there is no uniformity about how the word structure is implied. I mean, for several of the people around here, structure is not unlike what you say, something objective in the world out there. For me, it is a mathematical problem of relationships of concepts in the mind, so that it only appears out there in a different form. It's very difficult to relate these concepts, but I don't think you can just say the anthropologists use structure in this way and the historians in another way, because clearly the anthropologists use structure in several different ways. I think both Morris and Jack and Gadelia would all agree.
By and large, I have the same. We take the same position as Edward on this, that I see them implicated in such a way that it becomes very difficult to make the... I mean, I can see there are situations in which one can, you know, one which needs to separate various things, aspects of, that can be referred to under these terms, but, I mean, usually I don't.
I mean, there's a bit of a problem with that usually when... Well, anthropologists talk about culture, I mean, they're not bothering to explain. I mean, and I think this is one of the few things we would tend to agree, you know, when people say, oh, well, it's culture, it means that they're not attempting any kind of hierarchy of causes. I entirely agree with Professor Leach. I mean, there are fairly different ways in which the word structure is meant, but the only thing which they seem to have in common is that they are all attempts at some sort of explanation. I mean, that's really the only difference.
Yes.
So, stress for benefit of everyone, there are two quite separate English words which are spelt the same way, but which are quite different. Structure, and then the English word structure. And I was speaking strictly about structure, and I'm trying to make this claim by referring to first year biology undergraduates. Yes. I think Edmund was speaking about structure, referring to the underlying idea behind his kind of use, that what is normally called culture is also a structure, but it shouldn't be naively taken as simply kind of echo or irrelevancy. In order to understand it, one has to understand how it is generated. Of course, it is somehow intellectually generated. And that is a very fascinating argument. But it isn't immediately linked to I would think mutual structure, if you want a simpler word, organization or something, I try to convey this by mentioning first-year undergraduates, and that distinction between that, external visible organization of, as opposed to the notions, and Jack's point, about the 18th century, very often structural facts that sometimes the bride couldn't marry that guy unless she wore certain things, that the culture is sometimes essential and sometimes isn't. I entirely concede, it seems to me the advantage of the first year anthropological language, that it has a distinction between base and superstructure without prejudging their interrelationship. Whereas Marxism seems to me to be in a dilemma of either being committed to one-way causal thing, or in refining it, then being facing the double dangers of either ending up with a system which is elegant but allows everything.
Well, that seems to me.
Sally Humphries.
Well, I wanted to say I think there's an ambiguity in the notion of culture. I mean, the notion of culture here is really more problematic than that of structure, because culture saying something is cultural can imply either that it's sort of derivative from the structure and is going to be explained by it in some kind of way, or that it's historical, therefore unexplainable in the terms that most anthropologists are interested in. And I mean, your use of nationalism as the problem of nationalism as the example, and he points out that, I mean, A, it may be a very ethnocentric kind of distinction, or, you know, there may be very ethnocentric elements built into this distinction, the idea of culture as something which is non-structural, sort of irreducible, unexplainable, historical, but you can override it and set up states and structures which take no notice of it. It does have these two sides to it, that some anthropologists some of the time are treating it as something which is a sort of reflection of social structure, which is to be explained by social structure, but there is the other side of it, that it's something historical which anthropologists haven't got techniques for explaining except in historical diffusionist terms.
No. Nice, good, yeah, and then we break for lunch.
Thank you. Well, to agree with you, I would say that there is no such thing as a social relationship existing, and call it a structure or not, it does not, I don't care, I am very open to, I don't argue about the definition of structure, in fact, very much. You cannot get formation of new social relationships without at the same time, a part of it is within thought, a part of it is out of thought. I mean, a social reality is immediately from the very beginning culture and something which is not culture, or if you want, it is something in mind and out of mind at the same time. It's connaissance. It is born at the same time. It is the both aspects of the same reality. So to oppose culture and structure does not mean very much to me. Cannot exist any social reality without a part of it. And this part which is thought is never reflection. It is interpretation, because thought is not reflecting. Mind is not reflecting, it is interpreting. And to interpret, it is to give a cultural meaning to things, to produce meaning. So, in fact, to me, I don't want to be trapped in that sort of opposition between structure and culture. Cannot exist a social reality without a cultural, it means a semantics of a social relationship, which is not reflection but interpretation. So it is how I see the problem. I don't want to be trapped in these things, you know? But I do agree with you, you know.
We start again at 2:30, then with Tom Baltimore postponed from this morning, then Edwin Leach, then Jack Goody.
I've already resigned.
Don't be lazy, yeah. You are too lazy, you know. You want to escape.
I'm sure they're going to tell you how it might be.